Kashmala, sinful. Chetasa, his heart. Kshanaradam, in half a moment. Eva, like. Raja Indra, O king. Vayatikramtam, expired. Navam, new. Vaya, life. Translation of Purple by His Divine Grace by Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki. My dear King Prachinabharishad, in this way King Puranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife. And in this way his new life and youth expired in half a moment. Please repeat. My dear King Prachinabharishad, in this way, King Puranjana, with his heart full of lust and sinful reactions, began to enjoy sex with his wife. And in this way, his new life and youth expired in half a moment. Purple. Srila Govindadas Thakura sang, Hey dana juvana putra parijana, Hetiki achipara titire, Kamaladala jala jivana talamala, Vajavum haripada nitive. This means, what is the assurance of happiness in life, the youth, youthful life, sons, family members? What's the guarantee of happiness there? Kamala Dala Jala, it's like a drop of water on the lotus flower leaf. You see the lotus leaves, they have a little drop of water on them. It stays round. It doesn't. Usually when you put a drop of water somewhere, it disperses, but on the lotus leaf it stays round. And then the wind comes and the water's moving and the wind is moving and it's, and that little drop of water is rolling around the leaf like that. With the wind. And any moment it can just drop off and be finished. So this is the comparison that he is making here. It's just like a drop of water. How you can guarantee there's going to be happiness? And at any moment, finished. So, in this verse, Srila Govindadas actually says that there is no bliss in the enjoyment of youthful life. In youth, the person becomes very lusty to enjoy all kinds of sense objects. The sense objects are form, taste, smell, touch, and sound. The modern scientific method of advancement of scientific civilization encourages the enjoyment of these five senses. The younger generation are very pleased to see a beautiful form, to hear radio message of material news and sense gratificatory songs, to smell nice scents, nice flowers, and to touch the soft body or breasts of a young woman, and gradually touch the sex organs. All of this is very pleasing to the animals. Therefore, in human society, there are restrictions in the enjoyment of the five sense objects. And if one does not follow, he becomes exactly like an animal. So here, the breasts of the woman, this was one of the first attractions that King Prachinabharishad had when he met the queen, when he saw the queen. She was alone. Then he began to notice, oh, her breasts. Even though she was trying to cover them with her sari, still he couldn't help to see the form of the breast. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that the breasts of a woman are the agents of Maya, meant to victimize the opposite sex. So this is the way that Krishna's planned it, how to keep everyone bound up in this material world. So this attraction, especially of the breast, even Prabhupada met with Shankaracharya also, he says that this is one of the greatest attractions, and he was a sannyasi, very strict sannyasi. This is one of the greatest attractions in this material world. So one should be attracted to the lumps of flesh and blood, which we know is a woman's breast. But unfortunately, the whole world is captivated and we see Mohini Murti, she and Lord Shiva's pastime, and he was completely bewildered. She was playing ball, she was patting the ball and jumping. You know, when you pat the ball, sometimes it goes so her breasts were moving around and bouncing also. So Lord Shiva lost it, and he is, you know, he's the supreme male of this universe. He's the master of all. So supposed to be the mark, but he, in that example, of course, Mohini Modi was a form of Krishna, so Lord Shiva was, well, he wasn't even ashamed of what he did, because he chased her all, chasing after all over the place. And she led him through all the different ashrams of all the yogis and things like that. What's this? It's Lord Shiva, he's our worshipful object, he's chasing after this woman. And so he said he did that, Krishna arranged that, so the yogis could see that it's not so easy to control your senses, especially with a woman. So you see the Bollywood people, they also imitate this, don't they? You see those, some, you have to see sometimes when you're on stage, you know, in a train or something that they put the video on. But that's all that they have, always had the lady dancers in the body, but they always come and they shake their shoulders and things like that. But it's more direct. In the West, they don't do that so much. At least I didn't notice it. But in India, they know this. So they want to make it more attractive, and so they put everything in there. but the... yeah, so one has to be very, very careful with these features of the material world, meant to bewilder the living entity from man. The whole Vedic game is, you want to be the enjoyers. So this time, you be the enjoyer. I'll be the man this time. I'll be the enjoyer. But you play your part and be the enjoyer, the women. Next life, I'll be the woman, you be the man, you play your part and I'll play my part. This is the Vedic game. Because we want to enjoy, we've got to have something to enjoy. So Krishna's created the masculine and feminine. So you, this time you be the controller and enjoy me, next time I'll be the controller and enjoy you. So this is the way Krishna's arranged it. Very, very artfully and cleverly. So we can fulfill our desires to be the controllers and enjoyers. So that's why the Vedic is saying, no, you have to play your role properly as a woman. And a man, you have to play your role properly as a man. Then you've got the enjoyer and the enjoyer. Then that's why you come here. That's why everybody comes here. Nobody come here to be a beauty vodi. They come here to be the enjoyers. So, thus, in this verse, it is specifically stated, Kama Kashmala Chetasa, the consciousness of King Puranajana, was polluted by lusty desires and sinful activities. In the previous verse, it was stated that Puranjana, although advancing consciousness, lay down on a very soft bed with his wife. This indicated that he indulged too much in sex. The words Navambaya are also significant in this verse. They indicate the period of youth from the age of 16 to 30. These are 13 or 15 years of life, are years in which one can very strongly enjoy the senses. When one comes to this age, he thinks that life will go on and that he will simply continue enjoying his senses. But time and tide wait for no man. The span of youth expires very quickly. One who wastes his life simply by committing sinful activities in youth immediately becomes disappointed and disillusioned when the brief period of youth is over. The material enjoyments of youth are especially pleasing to a person who has no spiritual training. If one is trained only according to the bodily conception of life, he simply leads a life of disappointment because his bodily sense enjoyment finishes within 40 years or so. After 40 years, one simply leads a disillusioned life because he has no spiritual knowledge. For such a person, the expiration of youth occurs in half a moment. Thus, King Paramjana's pleasure, which he took in lying down with his wife, expired very quickly. So Prabhupada says, after 40 years or so, then the sense enjoyment finishes, or it starts to diminishing. So you're supposed to take vanaprastha at that time. This is a symptom. When these things happen, old age comes, it's a symptom. It's time to take vanaprastha. So Krishna's given you all these different symptoms. And because you still don't take vanaprastha, then Krishna takes away the potency of man. Krishna actually starts to take the potency, becomes impotent. I am the ability in man, Krishna says. He gives the ability, he also takes away the ability. So okay, signs are there, you're not taking vanaprastha. Okay, so then Krishna takes away the abilities, becomes impotent. But still, give me some medicine to make me potent. This is the demand. I become impotent, let me get some medicine. Monkey gland. Who's that very famous actor? Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra. Very famous personality on the movies and everything like that. Then he became old. Very disappointed with youth. But then they found a way out to transplant monkey glands. Monkeys are very active sexually. So they take the glands from the monkey and they transfer them into a human. And he became very happy, but we know what his next life will be. There's no need to actually undergo the operation. He'll get it naturally in his next life. He'll get the body to go with it also. So he can enjoy unlimitedly as a monkey. But this is the situation in modern civilization. It's encouraging these things. It's demanding what the people want. We want satisfaction. Or even in old life, you can't get it. Okay, invent something for us. Because everybody's sudra. Now they have to listen to the sudra. And what does the sudra? He just wants happiness. He wants sense gratification. So they have to cater for the public demand. But who are the public? There's all sudra. And they have no standard. So therefore they have to make medicine. This Harisori was saying in one of his classes, there's a thing called Playboy Club in America. I don't know if it's beyond it, maybe. Playboy Club. And it's all young girls, scantily dressed. And it's a club, and the men go, usually the old men. Old men go there. And they drink something and they can associate with the girls and talk and for further things, proposals they can do also. He said, even at the age of 80, he said, I've seen in France, they tell me they're going to these clubs there, where they're with the young women, and paying money, 80 years old. So anyway, the man who invented this club, Playboy. Used to have a bunny rabbit with big ears as a sign, but it's a symbol. But he, I guess all over America, is it? There's clubs? Everywhere, okay. I didn't see it in England. Okay, they're everywhere. So people go to these clubs. But anyway, he liked women, but he became old and impotent anyway. So he was lamenting, you know, what to do. My life. But then they invented another new drug which revitalizes your potency. So again he became very happy. He's now my life back again. that was his life. Just like Paranjan, he's thinking this is his life, a real life. So he was so happy he got his life back. Otherwise he would have become like Rav Master Zira, disillusioned, and he was. So this is he. Even Krishna gives you warning and make forces still, somehow or another I have to enjoy it, somehow or another. Renunciation, that's out of question. But continue my enjoyment to the end. So, as Prabhupada says, everything is geared up by the government to increase the enjoyment. So, even though the potency goes, and Krishna enjoyed it, still the desire remains. We had two bulls here, Jagai Madai, and, when we were 1971, 72, two big bulls, Jagai and Madai. Of course, the bulls, they're castrated when they're young. They can't have sex. But anyway, these bulls, one was jumping up on the other. They were trying to mount each other. When we told Prabhupada, he said yes. He said even though they can't have sex, still the sex desire is there. It was just like the human. You become impotent, but still the desire. You say you don't get rid of the desire so easily. So I was in Prabhupada's room one time here in the Lotus Building, and Prabhupada, he was doing his writing something or reading something, and there was one old life member there. He used to come quite regularly. He was also very old. And he was talking, and he said, yes, he said, and when you get to a certain age, he said, automatically the sex desire will go. And Prabhupada looked up and said, aye, automatically never. So this is the situation, it doesn't go, even in old age, it'll go, but no, automatically never. Kama Kashmala Chetasa also indicates that unrestricted sense enjoyment is not allowed for human in the human form of life by the laws of nature. If one enjoys unrestrictedly, he leads a sinful life. The animals do not violate the laws of nature. For example, the sex impulse in animals is very strong during certain months of the year. The lion is very powerful. He is a flesh eater and is very strong, but he enjoys sex only once a year. Similarly, according to the religious injunctions, a man is restricted to enjoy sex only once a month after the menstrual period of the wife, and if the wife is pregnant, he is not allowed sex life at all. That is the law for human beings. Prabhupada was giving a lecture one time, right in the early days in New York. And he said, yes, and sex life is restricted. So sex life is restricted to once a month. And I agree with Prabhupada. Then he said, once a month? Better not have it at all. Prabhupada laughed and he said, yes, yes, good boy, that's the idea. That's the idea. Better not have it at all. These laws are for human beings. A man is allowed to keep more than one wife because he cannot enjoy sex when the wife is pregnant. If he wants to enjoy sex at such a time, he may go to another wife who is not pregnant. These are the laws mentioned in the Manusamhita and other scriptures. So, this is the story of Puranjana. He's because of his association with Dharma. Dharma represents the why. She's the intelligence. She also represents Dharma. And because of Paranjan's association with Dharma, represented by his wife, he became attached to Dharma. And that became the goal of his life. In the last, yesterday's verse, translation. Yeah, in this way, thinking that Dharma is his wife, or representing Dharma, he remained always laying down with the head on the pillow to his Dharma's wife, like his wife's son. In this way, he considered woman to be his ultimate life and soul. And he became so overwhelmed, he could not understand the meaning of self-realization or of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he thought, this is my Dharma. Wife is representing Dharma, so I'm doing my Dharma. And Dharma is the goal of my life. So what's wrong with it? I'm doing my Dharma. You should perform your Dharma as the goal of life. So rather than under, because there's four goals, you get Dharma, Artha, Karma, Moksha. It should be a progression, but there are goals to everybody should strive to. So he thinks he's doing his Dharma here. And he's thinking that actually my wife, she is the ultimate goal of life because she's my Dharma. So what's wrong? I'm doing my Dharma. He was very charitable. He was a king. He was doing everything properly. Unfortunately, he was attached to his wife too much. So he's doing my Dharma. It's like the Vedic hymns that expand the Karma Kanda sections. These are the attractive green leaves of the banyan tree of this material world that keeps everybody bound up. Everybody's bewildered. She speaks of this in the 15th chapter, that banyan tree. Everybody's being bewildered on this. You can't see where it begins, where it ends. And the green leaves are Dharma. Even you do your Dharma very nicely, and they make the tree very attractive because you're getting good results by performing your Dharma. You'll go to Swargaloka, go to heaven afterwards and things like that. So they are very, very attractive. So this is Paranjan's case. He's so overwhelmed. He thinks, this is the goal of my life, this pleasure with my wife. And he forgets all about the self. He forgets all about the supreme, the super soul in his heart. And he simply he thinks he's performing Dharma. And what is his future? We'll see in the coming chapters. He has to go to hell, practically. He has to suffer so much for doing his Dharma. Because of his attachment, two things. There's one, trying to enjoy this material world, and the other is attachment to the material world. Trying to enjoy the material world is not so bad if you're not attached, because attachment is causing you bondage. So if you can stay aloof, it's not so bad. You can come here, but unfortunately, people become attached. But that's the cause of the bondage, the attachment. The enjoyment is not actually the cause of the bondage, it's the attachment. But unfortunately, everybody gets attached to the enjoyment. So that meant that everybody gets bound up like this. So and so sense enjoyment becomes the goal of life. This is my goal of life, my Dharma, sense enjoyment. Lying down with his head on his wife's arms as a pillow. This is my Dhamma. There's nothing more than this. Paranjan story is illustrating graphically the situation of consciousness and activities and mentality in this material world. How Krishna's everybody really bound up, hand and foot, tight with shackles. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, even the person becomes shackled. Around his ankles he's got shackles, they're bolted together, chain and shackles. And when he moves, he has to drag them around with him. But he's thinking, they're my shackles. My shackles. They're mine. I and mine is identified. He thinks that because they're mine, it's great, it's okay. Even I'm limited by being bound in iron chains. But it's my shackles. This is the illusion. Get so strong. My shackles. All for the name of sense gratification. This is, in France, there was a revolution. There was a famine, and the grains, somehow or another, the grains didn't come, the wheat didn't grow, and they couldn't. So they were going to the king, I can't remember his name, complaining, we haven't got any food, we're your subjects, we're the citizens, we are starving, we haven't got any food. So they were going to the palace and complaining to the king. And the king's wife, whose name was Marie Antoinette, very famous character, Marie Antoinette, queen. And she said, what's all the problem down there? What is all that commotion? She said, your citizens, madam, your majesty, your highness, they're hungry. They haven't got any bread. She said, oh, they haven't got bread? Then feed them some cake. So when the message got back to the citizens, that was the last straw. So there was a big revolution. And they destroyed the monarchy. The French Revolution, famous French Revolution. So anyway, it was recorded by the biographers, it was a few hundred years ago, that they were being taken to the guillotine. They had the guillotine. Method of execution. It's a big sharp thing and you put your head in there and the guillotine comes down and your head goes off. So they said, they're going to go to the guillotine. The royalty all have to go to the guillotine because they're not looking after the citizens. So we'll do away with the monarchy. So they put them in the wagons, horse wagons. They're going to take the prisoners to the guillotine where the guillotines were. So they're covered wagons, they're for the criminals. They were covered with something. So on the way to the guillotine, the people were looking, some people could see on the, they were on the cart and they were looking inside at the prisoners, the kings and the queens and the royalty, and they were having sex on the way to the guillotine. Our last few moments of life, what should we do with it? So they were having sex. Get our last little bit of enjoyment on the way to the guillotine, exactly like the goats. Prabhupada said, the goats, and they give some grass, anyway, the goats are lined up for the slaughterhouse, and they're eating little bits of grass on the way, and having sex also, and they're the next in line, but the goat before it, they just cut his head off. There's a goat behind him. He's eating some grass, or he's trying to have sex with another goat. And, you know, so right up to the moment of death, this is how strong this bondage is. We have to surrender to Krishna. It's your only way to get out of this. You can't work it out yourself, how to get out of it. Lady Heshikumai, Mama Maya, Bhakti. How you can work out how to get out of the free from attachments. Only by surrender to Krishna. Then Krishna releases. You don't have to worry about it. Let Krishna do the hard work. He created it. For him it's easy. He created all the bondage, so he can easily dissolve it. So we depend on Yogeshwara. We don't depend on our own prowess. But everybody's thinking, I'll get it together myself. It's not so easy. But if we depend on Krishna, then yes, it's easy. Krishna says, easily you can overcome this. These laws and scriptures are meant for human beings. As such, if one violates these laws, he becomes sinful. The conclusion is that unrestricted sense enjoyment means sinful activities. Illicit sex is sex that violates the laws given in scripture. When one violates the laws of the scriptures or the Vedas, he commits sinful activities. One who is engaged in sinful activities cannot change his consciousness. Our real function is to change our consciousness from Kashmala, sinful consciousness, to Krishna, the supreme pure. That's confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Param Brahma Param Dham Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Krishna is the supreme pure, and if we change our consciousness from material enjoyment to Krishna, we become purified. This is the process recommended by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the process of Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. So here is a solution, Prabhupada said, only Krishna consciousness. To work out all these things individually, how we're bound up and how everything is working, how we can overcome it, how we can control our senses, how we can control the mind, how we can... It's too difficult. But it's the attitude. If we can learn to change our attitude on the whole picture of the material cosmos and how we're bound, we change our attitude, our view towards it, then that's all it needs actually. If we can change our attitude, then we'll just see the Krishna consciousness in this material world instead of, you know, objects of my enjoyment. But try to work it out individually, how to control the different senses. It's really, really difficult, but the whole point of is Krishna's repeating again and again to surrender, this is the way. So if we can just change the attitude or become Krishna consciousness into Krishna consciousness, then we can, we don't actually have to deal with the problem. Krishna consciousness is the positive alternative. So we're dealing with the positive. We're dealing with everything now as Krishna's. Krishna's expansions, Krishna's energies, and so we're dealing with Krishna all the time. And the other, although the Krishna says that although the attraction still remains, but we see it for what it is. I very much like that Prabhupada's purple, and he's talking in the creation. In the third canto, and he says that this whole material manifestation is the illusory, the smiling face of the illusory energy, and her teeth are the art of affection, and Yama, the jaws, are the lord of death. Prabhupada says in his purport, the Lord smiles sweetly, displaying his teeth are the art of affection. So Prabhupada says, the Lord smiles sweetly, displaying his teeth. Then he says, one who can understand this, And who can understand this, then he'll know how to get out of it. In other words, Prabhupada is saying, you can read it in more meaning. In other words, we become attracted by this material energy. It's the smiling face of the Lord, and so it's attractive. And then especially when you show the teeth in the smile. This is the art of affection, he said. Displaying his teeth with the art of affection. Become more attracted. And what happens then? Yama is there. Yamaraj is the Lord of Death, the jaws. So you become attracted to that nice smiling face and attractive teeth. But what do those teeth do? You're in the jaws of death. That's actually what's happening here. So Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. And it's very important that Prabhupada was, and I don't know how many times he said that sinful life, you can't become Krishna conscious. So Cheto Dharpana Marjanam, this is actually the beginning of our Krishna consciousness movement. It's the beginning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Mahaprabhu only left 6 verses, and this was the beginning. Cheto Dharpanam. First you have to clean the heart. Otherwise you're never going to understand. So it begins at that point, when the heart is clean. So therefore we try to do it with the one stroke blacksmith process, Prabhupada says. Krishna consciousness is the blacksmith's process. Blacksmith is a person who works with iron. You have the shanapati, the gold man, he makes little earrings. He has a little hammer of gold and he's tap 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 tap. But then you have the blacksmith. He has a huge iron hammer, huge sledgehammer. And he gets his things hot and he has a big iron anvil and he puts it in and boom. He said, one Prabhupada said, one stroke. Boom. Krishna consciousness is one stroke. No tap 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 tap. Krishna consciousness, the one blacksmith process. So that's it. Blacksmith, change our consciousness to Krishna consciousness. Change our attitude to see Krishna in everything, Krishna's energy everywhere, rather than everything is for my enjoyment. You go by the seaside sometimes and they have houses, they're letting their rooms, renting rooms, you can stay, bed and breakfast, something like that. Stay overnight or something. But often they put, room with view to enjoy. It looks out on the ocean or something like that. So if you get a room on the ocean side in the hotel, you go to a, you get a room on the ocean side, you get beautiful view, look out. And so they advertise it, room with view to enjoy. So it's exactly like this body. We're in this room and we're having a view to enjoy. We're looking out through these eyes, but what is view to enjoy? This is Maya consciousness. So just change that view, change that attitude into Krishna consciousness. One stroke. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Shrima Veda Bhakti Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Go Premanand ki
jai. One question. In the papers, Prabhupada mentioned that one is allowed to have more than one wife. Can you comment on that? But in Ishkan, we don't follow that. But here he's saying it. So what is that?
Yeah, Prabhupada says one can have more than one wife. Then if he's wife is pregnant, he can go to another wife. But in ISKCON it's not allowed. Well, it's allowed in... Is it not allowed in ISKCON? I don't know. If you're living in a country where it's legal, I don't know if it's not. It's okay. Prabhupada said it's not legal. So you can't do it in most countries. Krishna consciousness as a society, then eventually, why not have a polygamy? It's sensible. It's Vedic. We ultimately want to establish that. Prabhupada said that they said so many marriages, Prabhupada, there's so many brahmacharis and sannyasis. What will happen to the marriages? And Prabhupada said, oh, they can marry twice, they can take more than one wife. And then it became a kind of a thing. The sannyasis were always teasing every house. Remember it. Hey, Shamashanda Prabhu, what Prabhupada said. You gotta take a co-wife. The sannyasis would tease all the... You haven't got Malati as your wife, you gotta take another wife. Guru Das, you gotta get a new wife. The sannyasis would play and they would tease the grihasthas. So anyway, Prabhupada said, no, it's a good system. But the modern laws, they don't allow it, but... when Krishna consciousness becomes the law, then it will be that.
Because if it is like legalized, we see somebody divorce his wife and marry another devotee.
What?
Someone can divorce and marry another devotee because they feel it's not legal. So why? What is the point of divorcing and marrying again? Why not marry and keep them together? Like you said in the Manu Samhita. But if it's not legalized, they keep divorcing and marrying again. So to stop divorcing, just let them to marry as many as they want. From he said, hey, in the Manu Samhita, it can be done. But in ISKCON, we don't do it. Instead, they divorce and marry another person. What is the point of divorce? That's my
question. What is the point of divorce?
The point of divorce most of the time is so you can marry someone else. The Prabhupada was very concerned that we follow the laws of the country that we're in. And he said that's important that devotees be law-abiding. And that's why he approved this idea of more than one wife, and he said you can just call her a friend. You don't even have to call her the wife, and so forth. But my experience of seeing other people, not personal experience, but seeing other people in this business of having multiple wives is very, very difficult. And because the women are not trained to accept such a situation, there's always so much problem. It's difficult enough to take care of one wife who is just being one wife, but to introduce the second area there, I think that's why the GBC condemned the idea and said, no, we don't do this.
Prabhupada said, actually it's a good thing that divorce. And God said, Prabhupada, it's a good thing. He said, yeah, the idea of renunciation is very good. He said, but then again, they get married again, so it's useless. But you can become renounced and leave your wife. That's a big thing. Not everybody can do that. But then they get married again. Yes.
Actually, I had a question. I'm asking about the solution, the Chaita Darpana solution that Prabhupada gives. So, or in other words, the chanting. I have a question about the Maha Mantra. We actually have in the word that Rama is enjoyment, but we also have Rama, the supreme enjoyer, in the Maha Mantra. And so when we do it as a practice, are we only addressing Radha and Krishna? Because sometimes in the books, Prabhupada mentions that Rama can indicate Balaram or Ramachandra or Nityananda. But then again, when he is explaining the process, then we are actually praying to Radha and Krishna, not praying to, like, we are not adding Balaram to the prayer. So how do we translate this word? Do we translate it as the supreme enjoyer in that context, or do we translate it as Radha Raman? How do we how do we, you know, address Krishna in the Maha Mantra when we chant our japa? What is your realization or understanding?
Prabhupada's explanation, super sublime explanation, was O energy of the Lord, Hare, please engage me in the service of Lord Ram, please engage me in the service of Krishna. So, as you quoted Prabhupada saying, there's different, there's Balaram, there's Ramchandra, there's also Parasaram. David, he mentioned three realms. So he said they actually you can chant any of them. They all mean you can use, it's not very restricted. He said it means all of those names. So in the beginning of chanting Hare Krishna, let's engage us in your service. We want that connection, we want some bandha and a relationship established. So in that beginning stage, then we follow that is ideal what Prabhupada said. Please engage us in the services. That's what we want to look at. Re-establish our connection with Krishna. So when you're chanting, you're not meditating on what it means at that time. That comes before chanting. Then when you're chanting, you're just attentive to the sound vibration. So it's not really a question of meditating on meaning. Later on it will develop in the progression of Nam, Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. Later on then you use the mind for meditating and chanting and something like that. But in the beginning Prabhupada says that we just hear the sound vibration. So then it will be just please engage us in the service of the Lord. That's the meditation before we chant. And then we just absorb in the sound vibration.
There was some years ago, there was in Australia, there was a story on this documentary called 60 Minutes. And it was about this man in somewhere around where New Govardhan Farm is in Australia. He was living around there and he had like something like nine wives. And he had like 63 or 65 children. So the interview was showing how the wives were all very happy. He was looking after them very nicely. All the kids were happy. But then sometime later, 60 Minutes did another interview on this man. And the man had left all the wives. He'd run away, he disappeared. And all the wives were very unhappy. They were very angry. All the children were crying. And it turned out that this man, he ran away and he joined the Hare Krishna farm. So he was at New Govardhan and apparently he was getting into Krishna consciousness and he was also hiding from his wives, you know, they were trying to detect where he was.
Question through SMS from Udayananda Prabhu.
From?
Udayananda Prabhu. He is asking, how the sinful activities affect the advancement in devotional service? What's the problem of sinful activities? How they affect our advancement in devotional service?
They're encouraging the idea of that I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. They're reinforcing the idea why we came here. It's Krishna's position. I want to be in Krishna's position, so I'm the controller and enjoyer. So this sinful activity is reinforcing that idea. So you don't make progress. You just stay where you are. It's passion or ignorance. So you don't make progress.
Prabhu, you told that we cannot overcome our lusty desires by our own endeavor. By our own power, we cannot overcome lusty desires. But we also, I feel that we also have some role, because Prabhupada says that God helps those who help themselves. So what is our role in overcoming lusty desires?
Yeah, Prabhupada says you work as though it is you that's doing the work and getting the result. But actually the result is dependent on Krishna. But you act as if the result is dependent on your work and ability. But actually, consciousness is actually, the result is dependent on Krishna. But I'm acting like the result is dependent on my activity.
Isn't it also how we use, you know, we have a choice at every moment to accept Krishna or Maya. So is not choice always ours, even if we need Krishna's help? You can always blame Maya for our, you know, for our fall downs. You know, if Maya was so strong, I just couldn't, you know, control myself.
No, she's never that strong.
Yeah.
she is powerful. She could, but she doesn't. She's not unfair. But she presents herself as a living entity. Come and enjoy me. She doesn't force you. The living entity makes that choice to embrace Maya. She just presents herself in attractive form. Yeah, that would be unfair if Maya forced her to do it. You can't defeat Maya, but she doesn't. She's not unfair, but she's, that's her business. Just to keep you bewildered. So she's just presenting.
How can we surrender to Krishna until we leave the idea to enjoy or control? Because very often it happens that those who practice for such a long time, we can see the traces of being controller and enjoyer. Is it possible to? It seems like sitting, like riding on two boats. Try to control and enjoy, and try to surrender to Krishna. So how can we leave this idea to control and enjoy?
Just by constant practice and detachment. So more or less that's our activity in Krishna consciousness. It's always bringing the mind back. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever the mind goes to its flicking edge, merely bring it back to the control of the self. That is our practicing Krishna consciousness. That should be everyone's practice. Wherever the mind goes, immediately bring it back. It goes, bring it back. It goes, bring it back. It bring it back. Constantly. This is our practice. And if you do that, then Krishna will give the result. Oh, you're following my instruction. Therefore, I'll give the result. Otherwise, Krishna says, I'm a fool. I gave an instruction. Bring the mind back. And they're doing it and they don't get the result. I'm not a fool. So I see someone's doing, following, I'll give the result. But it's so deep rooted this desire to control and enjoy, it's been since time immemorial, since we came in the material universe. It never finished. Because when the body, this gross body finishes, the subtle body goes to another body. So those impressions, you're always maintaining that I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. And in my experience, I've never died. The mind never died, which is my main identification. And I'm going through these different situations, different bodies, but I never died. The subtle body never died, it just went along with me. So I don't die and I'm the controller and the enjoyer. So these are the impressions that we carry with us from one birth to another. So it's they're so deeply ingrained. So with knowledge, we see what's actually happening, and then knowledge and discrimination, then you can cut down the attachment to this this tree of this material existence. So basically it's cultivation of the understanding that I'm not the controller and enjoyer by making Krishna the controller and enjoyer, serving, offering everything for Krishna's pleasure. So that is our practice. Wherever the mind goes back to its old habit, immediately bring it back. You have to do it again and again and again. This is our practice. The moment you leave it there, then it will start to feel for it. First thinking, then feeling. And if it's good, I will it, then I'll do it. Then back in the material life again. If you do it, it works. Because Krishna said it will work. He gave the order.
But isn't it the process of surrendering like work of goldsmith?
Yeah.
Because if it's like you said that Prabhupada wanted us to surrender in one stroke, and if we act like this, that there and back, like we are enjoyers or Krishna is enjoyer. It's like it's like we are trying to surrender, like goldsmith works.
Yeah. So I become blacksmith. Why remain goldsmith? Well, everybody has a tolerance level, how much they can surrender. But if you do it, if you have that complete implicit faith in Krishna, it'll work. Otherwise, Krishna's a fool for giving those instructions. So you must have that implicit faith, conviction that Krishna will carry what you lack. I lack faith, I lack so many things, but Krishna doesn't. I'll carry what you just put it into practice, you surrender. I'll carry what you lack. But we have to do it. We have to do it. We're reading every day on every page of Prabhupada's books. Every day. Every page. We have to put that into practice, what we read. How many times did Prabhupada mention sinful life in this? One purport a day. We're going to put it into practice. We heard it. So we have to put everything into practice, the Prabhupada. Then it goes quickly. The process goes quickly. Anything else?